You just can't avoid the truth. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And as always, Barry, I'm glad to be back with you. And we're also very happy to have the opportunity to be together in the studio.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, as our listeners who have been with us regularly know, we've been talking about ideas about fundamentals this week. And we're going to Saturday talk more about the specifics of the election results and what things mean, and actually probably give some people some good news. I'm sure that they could probably use a dose of that after this week. But we'll talk about that more on Saturday. But today, we're continuing our series on what we call the fundamentals. We've talked about the idea of strict construction of the Constitution. We've talked about having absolute fixed standards of right and of law that you have to have in order to have civil society. Well, Chuck, one of the other things that you have to have, and what we're going to be talking about today, is a culture that's willing to continue to establish the future generations. Because if you don't have that, you won't have a society. You won't have a culture. You will have extinction. And we're talking about that, and we've said this on an earlier program, that especially here in America, and it's just as prevalent in other parts of the world, the replacement rate, that is, bearing offspring, having children, little rugrats, whatever you want to call them, that the minimum replacement rate in order to maintain a society, maintain a species, is approximately 2.1 children per family unit. But in America, I think we said we're setting at about 1.7, which is below the replacement rate.
Guess what? We just hit a record low.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just saw a headline the other day that we're down to something like 1.6.
Okay, and there are other countries that, if it weren't for Muslim populations, would be even lower than that. Most of Europe, for example, is below the replacement rate. But you know what, Chuck? We don't get there just by the specter of abortion, which I'm assuming that most people would think that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're really not going to talk about abortion except as a consequent of a wrong way of thinking.
It's a worldview issue.
It's a worldview issue, but it stems from another worldview issue.
By the way, the U.S. birth rate is now 1.9.
1.9.
And that's a record low. The European rate is, we're approaching the European rate, which is like something like 1.85 or something.
Okay, all right. So we want to get our numbers straight
right
there. I was accredited one time with one of my Constitution classes of saying that 88.6% of the time the statistics I throw out there are just made up.
Yeah. And the other 11.4, they're just lies.
They're just lies. They're just lies. That's right. No, and we were talking about some of the elections and the actual rates if you look at all registered voters, but that's another story.
Yeah.
Now, this one, honestly, Chuck, we've said a lot of things in this program that have probably rubbed people the wrong way, but I'm sure that today is really going to be like rubbing the fur on the cat going the wrong toward the head instead of toward the tail.
In some cases, maybe, but there's also, we're going to put a link up to this because you need to read the article. This is a very heartfelt article written by the person who is the subject. She has written about, essentially about herself.
Yes, she has. Now,
and she's come to a partial, I think, maybe about an 80% realization of what she's done wrong, maybe 70%. There's another 30 she needs to go, and I don't think those are going to come and for a little bit yet, but it's the eyes are opening, shall
we
say.
She's hacking at the branches. She hasn't figured out she's got to cut at the roots in order to get this
exactly
done. Well, what we're talking about is an article from the Daily Mail, which is a British newspaper online, and it's written by a lady by the name of Claudia Connell. Now, for most of our listeners, they have no idea who Claudia Connell is. However, she's a fairly famous writer, and I'm sure that you've heard Sex and the City, the television show and then movie was based upon, about the misadventures of four modern women in the city taking control of their lives and being all they can be and competing with men on a probably more than equal level. Now, why is Claudia Connell writing this article? Well, let me just read the title of the article that she penned, "The Lonely Legacy of My Sex and the City Lifestyle." Claudia Connell gives a painfully honest account of how she came to be living alone in middle age. You see, reality sometimes sinks in hard on people, Chuck. They can live a fantasy for a long time, but pretty soon you gotta pay the piper And you got to come to grips with the fact that there are absolutes in life. That there are things that you can't avoid in your life. And Claudia Cannell is now finally at that point in her life where she's realizing the unavoidables, and she's filled with regret. She says here, she goes, like everyone, I think and worry about the future and wonder where I'll be in the final decade or so of my life. Okay, yeah, let's admit it. We've all thought about our future and how much of our future we have left. Thankfully, for those of us who are in Christ, we know we have an eternal future, and it's an eternal future with Christ, as opposed to those who are without Christ, who many who haven't gotten the point yet that their eternal futures are going to be, well, shall we say, rather hot and dark.
Yeah,
and painful.
Yes.
But she says here, she says, with at least another 20 years of work ahead of me, I don't know whether I'll be comfortably off or stone broke, and I hope that the good health I've enjoyed so far won't desert me later on. So she's thinking about career, she's thinking about her retirement, and she's thinking about her health. We all think about those things,
Jack. Of course.
Okay. But here's the kicker, she says. One thing I'm pretty sure of, though, is that I'll be on my own, with no spouse to look out for me or children to visit. And she says, at the age of 46, I accept that my opportunity to have a family has gone, and the chances of meeting a decent man aren't looking too rosy either. She says, it's not a cheery thought, but I can console myself with the knowledge that in one sense I will be far from alone. Because today, and she references Britain, there are record numbers of middle-aged singletons. Figures released by their Office of National Statistics says there are now 7.6 million people living alone, that means without family, in Britain. Now, I'm not sure what those numbers are in the U.S., but they probably are going to be somewhat similar.
I'm trying to remember what the U.K. population is. It's heftier than everybody thinks. It's about 50 or 60 million, something like that.
Something of that nature.
So if you extrapolate those kinds of numbers.
Six times the number, so you're looking at about 40 million in the U.S., possibly. But
let's just not speak absolutely about that, but there's a possibility.
Best guess until we can do some research on that. But what she's basically saying is that the worldview that she adopted when she was young, she's now facing the consequences of. And she's sending a message, a little bit of a mixed message, but still a moral tale, if you will, to others, not the ones who are in the same boat she is, but to the younger generation, or what's left of them, to basically say, maybe we should have rethought this whole thing. Now, she's not the only, and I'll use the term, feminist, who has come to that startling realization. I remember back here a few months ago, I think it was Gloria Steinem or somebody, who actually said that she regretted not having children. But then again, if you're out there campaigning for abortion on demand, and every child being a wanted child, and you don't want them, your regrets ring a little hollow. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to be callous about that. But the point is the fact that there are some absolutes. And one of the absolutes that many human beings have to face is, at a certain point in your life cycle, the biology doesn't work anymore to have children.
Right.
Now, you can adopt, obviously, with its own set of difficulties. But for many people, that consideration of missing the idea of children, or missing the idea of growing old with someone, or sharing your life with a person who has, as we call it, leave and cleave, have become one flesh with in marriage, it doesn't cross many of these people's minds, because the culture, not just the British culture, but the American culture, has been one of pushing young women into career tracks to compete with men and be better than men, and we have to have full equality. Well, oftentimes when you have full equality, what you end up with is a lot of regret down the road.
And here's the problem. One of the problems you run into, Barry, women want full equality and full equality of pay. But here's the problem. How many men drop out of their career tracks, sometimes for months or years at a time, and then come back and demand to be at the pay level that they would be at had they not left for
had
a year?
Not left.
And what I'm saying about that is, a lot of women drop out to have a baby. We applaud that. In fact, women who have a baby probably should stay out. I think, personally, from experience, having experienced it both ways, my wife had a career and my wife had decided to not work after one of our children anymore, after we discussed it. And the fact is, we think things are much, much, much better in the case where our children were under the supervision of their mother all day. In fact, we noticed the difference in their development as at least one parent was home. And actually, I've been home with my children, and I realize that a lot of men can't do that. I own my own business, and my office is at home, so I'm home to help do things like homeschool. Someone, my wife runs into problems with math. I'm there to say, okay, I know how to solve this problem. And the fact is that this idea that women should somehow be given the privilege of being able to drop out of their career path for a year, year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, and come back in at the same pay level they would have been at had they been in for those 5 years. Sorry, there are consequences to actions. And that's what this authoress, Claudia Cannell, seems to have forgotten. That the fact that she is alone at 46 is because of the choices that she made in the short term when she was in her late teens up through about maybe 35.
Oh, absolutely. And she even mentions this in the article. She says, what none of us spent too long thinking about in our 20s and 30s was how our lifestyles would impact us once we reach middle age.
Bingo.
And then she says, when I look around at my single friends, and there are a lot of them, not one of them is truly happy being on her own. Suddenly, all those women we pitied for giving up their freedom for marriage and children are the ones feeling sorry for us. She's finally coming to that realization that when God created male and female, he created them with unique purposes in mind. He created them to work together and to be able to and appreciate and enjoy having the next generation. And to for the nurture and the care and the training and the hope that comes from being able to look at your children and maybe even at their children and see that extension of faithfulness in a family. Seeing the hope and the optimism that comes from following God's plan for our lives rather than making it up as we go along. She goes on, this is a very long article, Chuck.
Yes,
you know, she talks about all these things, but she really gets down to the point that we blew it. We career track minded, free to choose, casual connect women in their 20s and early 30s. Now that they're over 40 or over 45, as she is, I think she's 46, has decided that maybe we made some wrong decisions and we didn't see the consequences because our worldview wasn't clear.
There's a problem, too, though. She can't help sniping. She says these men seem to want these simple women who will simply give up their careers and bear children and help support them. Well, that's not necessarily such a simple thing. Maybe we should interview my wife. She's here someplace.
Or my wife.
Yeah. And see how simple it is to have to deal with us. And how to deal with how best to talk to us when we've come up with some cockamamie scheme that maybe isn't really such a great idea, so she can take us aside and go, honey, maybe...
But wait a minute. I never have bad ideas, so I don't know if my wife will ever be able to speak to that or not.
Yeah, well, mine usually comes in a fit of pique when I'm ranting and raving and kicking around the house and, you know, screaming at the top of my lungs and, you know, letting the testosterone take over. She has a way of letting me rant for a while and say, okay, all right, that's enough. We've had all we can take of that. You're not going to be doing those things, so just knock it off. Now, if she wasn't around to tell me that, I don't know exactly what I'd do. She is invaluable to me. And that's the whole point. Claudia Cannell cannot seem to grasp that this is a career in and of itself.
Yes. And she seems rather dumbfounded because, you know, obviously her writings are really based upon her own life.
Yes.
And she references one of the characters in her Sex and the City novels, Carrie Bradshaw, and then Bridget Jones, which another entire whole set of movies was made about this young career woman who was chasing around. She says, the brutal reality remains, however, that those two, Bradshaw and Jones, are fictional singleton poster girls, ended up living happily ever after. Even the writers behind those characters couldn't accept that they'd be happy to stay single forever, which does make me feel a little cheated. In other words, those two characters in the fictional stories ended up with marrying a husband and having kids.
Yeah, they ran off with the prince.
They ran off with the prince, which is that whole fairy tale theme.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen to her in real life. But
yep.
Chuck, this is the consequence of having a non-Christian worldview and living as if there were no king in Israel and doing what is right in your own eyes. So one of our fundamentals is we need to follow the design that God has given us for our families.
And with that, we're out of time. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.